The sky is gray. Candies in a turd roll down the street. The sky is gray. Candies in a turd roll down the street.
It has now been 23 years. She was walking on 23 years ago, early this morning, that the great Stevie Ray Vaughan passed on to the next plane. I saw my baby early this morning. We have not forgotten. Hopefully, you've not forgotten either. Warmest greetings, tickheads and ticket chicks. We're out today at Primo's on McKinney. We will be here with the presentation this afternoon. We'll have a few remembrances coming up here in just a bit. Beyond that, we're going to be out here getting you ready for Corona Light Fight Night, which comes up this Thursday at the Village Country Club. The Cobra is out here with me as well today.
See.
Hi there.
Howdy.
I hope that didn't bum you out or anything.
Stevie Ray?
Yeah.
No, man. No, I mean, it is what it is. I'd forgotten about it until about 15 minutes ago. Forgotten that today was a day. It always sneaks up on you. It's like worse than football season. It just, I always say this, it feels like we just did this segment. It's amazing how quickly a year passes, you know, and it's amazing that it's been 23 years because
yeah.
I know you remember the moment a lot better than most around here, but I remember the day exactly where I was when I found out over there at on the campus of TC Who.
Well, it was a very, very surreal day all the way around, and as I say, we'll get into it here in just a little bit, but the important thing today is Corona Light Fight Night, which comes up Thursday at the Village Country Club. And today, we start interviewing fighters. And boy, what fighters we're going to have out here today. This is the main event we've got.
Yeah, we have the two big guys. Now, Norm, for the last couple of years, has had this guy, Chris Crush Hopkins, who has destroyed anything and anyone that's gotten in front of him. And we put out the word to find a guy. And you know what we did mention? We mentioned the rugby crowd. Because there's always a dude that plays rugby. I don't know how many times you've seen a rugby match, Mike, around here. It's a different breed of human that plays that sport. And it turns out that we were barking up the right tree because a rugby cat took the challenge.
Rugby cat stepped up, huh?
Yes. And he... they'll be coming up here today. I can't wait for this fight. As much as I love the girl fights, it's kind of a side stage as far as what this actually is. And, you know, with what Dave Volk brought a couple of years ago, and, you know, last year Hopkins almost killed Volk.
And lost only on a technicality.
Yeah, kind of hit him in the back of the head, which was very controversial. But make
very
no mistake about
controversial.
It, this is the big bad cat on the block.
Yeah. And you're right, the girl fights and all the other stuff that goes along with it, those are all well and good and everything, but naturally, when you put on a big event, you want to end with something really good. You want to end it on a high.
Yeah.
And this is what we're hoping for. Now, we've got, as you say, one guy who has proven himself to be just about the baddest thing we've ever had at Fight Night.
He's mean.
Yeah, I can't remember either. I want to say that maybe I interviewed him in the ring one year, and he said he was in prison, or I think there's prison in his background.
Well, I mean, don't say that unless you know.
Well, I don't know. That's why we're getting him up here, and he can, you know.
Yeah, we're going to find out.
Yeah, he can punch me if he gets mad for saying he was in prison.
We never assume things or speculate on this program.
Never.
And then, on the other hand, you have the rugby guy. Now, rugby, and yes, I have seen rugby played around here a little bit, and it's rough.
Yeah, and there's always one guy. There's always like a 6'3 dude, broad-shouldered, big schnoz guy that's probably broken his nose 35 times that is always, he's the Adrian Peterson of the bunch, you know?
He's the alpha male out there, and you can tell that whatever it takes to establish his dominance on the next level, he is ready for that challenge.
Yeah.
So hopefully that's the kind of guy we got to fight the guy who's been with us for the last couple years. And they will be out here at Primo's today, and we are keeping our fingers crossed for a really good fight to wrap things up there. Got a lot of other stuff to get to today, too. We're going to go through the VMAs today. And, of course, out here at Primo's, everybody knows that Primo's on McKinney is a swinging hot spot if ever there was one. We're hoping that it will be a very fertile wireless hunting ground, too, as it has been in years past.
Yeah, isn't Tuesday like a big day around here?
I think it is.
Isn't Tuesday like a...
They have double margarita swirl day or something.
$2 margarita.
$2 margarita. That's what it is.
All right.
Dude, so typically what's a margarita? $6 or $8?
Yes.
$2.
Come out here and get your freak on easy out here, and we're hoping
$8.
Okay. Yeah.
Just $8.
$8 translates into $2.
What a great deal.
It is a great deal. So bring your dar.
We don't accept dar.
Dar is taken everywhere. Anyway, we'll have that, hopefully, coming up at 5:50. And a lot of other stuff as well. Right now it's 3:41 here on the ticket.
Too many nights I've laid awake wondering what is on Mike's mind. I've tossed and turned and crashed and burned, imagining what I'd find. So I'll just sit here and drink my beer, maybe rub one out tonight. 'Cause I can hardly wait to find out just what is on Mike's mind.
He can hardly wait to find out.
There's no sales tax on boots in New Jersey.
Thank God.
Yeah, remember that. If you ever headed up that way, keep that in mind. Who's being leveraged here, Jakaroo?
Autoflex Leasing and PollockDirect.com.
And of all the things to be tax exempt in New Jersey, it's cowboy boots.
Hey, you know what? Western wear is big everywhere.
That's right. It's big in the Euro world.
Okay.
Big in Mexico, too.
People love boots.
That's right. They do.
Wow.
Well, since this is the day, we thought we would throw out a few recollections of our infrequent bumps up against the orbit of Stevie Ray Vaughan over the years. He, of course, grew up in Oak Cliff. Our houses were 3 miles apart, if that, from each other. He was 4 years younger than me, went to Kimball, but I think he bailed out after his sophomore year. And that's the thing that a lot of people need to know about him and Jimmy both, is that for those guys and for a couple of other players that were around there at the time, there was no plan B. Those guys were going to make it through this world one way or the other, playing guitar or not at all. That was it. They had no plan to get back into school, higher education, anything like that. His higher education was done down in Deep Ellum before it became, in its fading years of its first big go-around.
Man,
long before it became what it is now.
It's so weird for Stevie Ray because I don't think you've ever mentioned his mom and dad, but they were just working class people.
Yeah.
You know, in Oak Cliff.
Yeah.
And the thought of both their kids dropping out of high school to pursue music you know, in the 60s or 70s, I guess. What could have been going through? They failed. They failed as parents. Even though they probably recognized their kids were really good, there's not one parent on the planet that would be like, okay, you go right on ahead. Quit school to go play music.
At 15. They probably were, at best, in the middle of the road on that, but they both did realize how good their kids were, especially Jimmy. Because when Jimmy was 15 or 16, he was roundly hailed by everybody. And I don't know how you would gauge this, but still, he was called the best guitar player in the state of Texas. And if it was not him, it was Billy Gibbons, who had a band in Houston known as the Moving Sidewalks back then. But Jimmy was in a little Oak Cliff band for a while, and at a very young age, he got into the Chessmen, which was a bunch of guys that were a good bit older with him. Doyle Bramhall Sr. was in that band. That's where they first crossed paths, and of course, Stevie was hanging around all the time then. Stevie was 4 or 5 years younger than him, and he was like a little puppy dog around. Even back then, he saw his way.
Yeah.
And he was trying to do what Jimmy did. But as I say, from the time he first picked up a guitar and saw that he was a little bit better at this than all the other boys, that was it. There was no alternative for him. That was what he was going to do with his life, one way or the other. And how successful he was just that, how successful he was, and he was okay with it all. And the parents, they knew that their children were on the prodigal side. And what can you do? I mean, what would you do if Van turns out to be this otherworldly?
A prodigy?
Yeah, a prodigy. What would you do if he turned out to be a prodigy classical piano player or something?
Yeah, you foster it.
Yeah, you do. And if that's what he wants to pursue and he wants to drop out of school to do it, you can't say it's a great idea. I don't know if you could fully endorse it, but...
But there's a difference socially between the piano and the guitar.
There is, yes. Still, I don't know if it's something you could stand in the way of.
No, you probably can't.
If your kid is that good.
You know, even though have him finish high school at least.
What's that?
I'd probably have him finish high school at least.
I don't think either one of them did.
Wow. That's awesome. It was a different time. Dropping out was not that big of a deal back then, right?
It was still a big deal. It's a much bigger deal now, but still it's, you know, like we were saying earlier, as a parent, you're just kind of like, oh my God, man.
Man, I don't know. It might have been a bigger deal back then, because back then, when you dropped out, you did so either because of something like this, that you were just supremely, supremely good at something, or you were a dead-end kid.
Yeah.
Who was probably going to wind up in the system and probably already was there anyway.
Well, or you had to work.
Yeah, now it's...
Yeah, some had to work.
Now it's dead-end kid or criminal.
Yeah. But that's the path they chose. That's the path that they set out on at a very early age, and there was no plan B for them.
I wonder if his mom or dad are around. They would be in their 80s or something, probably.
You know, I'm not sure. And again, let me issue the disclaimer that I issue every year.
Go ahead,
doing
Mike.
This. I don't mean to come off here like he and I were best friends, because we were not. And I know there are plenty of people out there who are hearing this right now who knew them and him better than me and everything. I'm just giving you my own recollections of him, because I did have a few brushes with him along the way, even though I didn't know him very well. We kept running into each other at various points throughout the course of his life. And you know, we got to know each other a little bit in that way, a particularly tangential way there at the end. But, you know, again, I don't mean to come off like we were big lifelong friends, because that was far from the case. But looking back over the accounts of this day and just the Wikipedia page on it all, it's just absolutely chilling to remember that day and remember that, you know, at about this time, all the news was done on it. Details were starting to come out. The story was starting to get out there everywhere. Kurt Loder, Danny, was on MTV. I know you were certainly by the channel, as you were every time that he graced the screen. He was all over it on this day. And word began to get out that there was going to be a gathering at Keith Park that night in Oak Cliff, which was just down the street from the street that the Vaughns lived on. And we decided that we would go over there for that and just see what was going on, see what people were doing and everything. And it was a very, very hot day, like it is today, that much I remember. And there were lots of people out there, and it was just a night of his music playing, and a lot of people huddled up in small groups and speaking in very hushed tones, and occasionally somebody would get up in front of the group and talk a little bit about whatever was on their mind. It was really cool as far as things like that go.
Yeah, you know, it was weird. I went up there to that Alpine Valley a couple of years ago.
You saw Pearl Jam there, didn't you?
I did. It was a 20-year anniversary of Pearl Jam's first show. And to look around and look at all the... I don't know how far away they were from Alpine Valley.
I don't think they got past the first ski hill.
Yeah.
I mean, took off and disappeared into clouds. Visibility was bad at the time. The weather was supposedly getting worse. And the first copter out was the one that hit the side of the mountain.
It was very strange when you're there and you look around and you realize, you're like, okay, here we are. This is where it all went down. And seeing that the mountains around Alpine Valley, they're not that big. You know, it's not like you're in the Rockies. It's not like you're looking at, they're almost big hills almost. You know, they're not these really majestic mountains that you think of when you think of like a range of mountains. Mm-hmm. And to think that they didn't get that high.
Yeah, that's what I've always heard.
So incredibly strange.
Well, as things turned out, the guy that was flying the thing was not terribly well qualified to do so. It came out later.
Were there lawsuits and all kinds of stuff after
this?
Yeah,
there were. George and Martha won a pretty big settlement over this.
Is that his parents?
Yeah, that's okay. His parents. But the other copters took off and got above the clouds okay, and they went on their way. And not knowing.
Holy crap.
Nobody knew about this until well after it was time for them to make their way back to Chicago. And it says at 4:30, the Civil Air Patrol was notified that something had happened, that there was a copter missing, and that they probably better start taking a look around to see if they could find it, and they did 3 hours later. So
wow,
things didn't start popping on this until very early the next morning.
And it was the other people in that copter, were someone in Buddy Guy's band or someone in Clapton's traveling party?
Yeah, I believe it was an Eric Clapton
sound guy or something.
Yeah, tour manager.
Yeah.
Hang on for a second. I'll see if I can find this. But
Vamp, Corby.
Yeah.
Double Trouble, his band, opened for Clapton during the two shows at Alpine Valley. Mm-hmm. And let's see, Robert Cray, Buddy Guy, Jimmy Vaughn was there too, and Clapton introduced them. Mm-hmm. Jimmy and Stevie Ray as the best guitar players in the entire world. But it doesn't say who all was on that thing with him, or at least I'm not sure who it was. Man, I'll tell you what I wasn't aware of. You know, we don't have time for this, but
quickly,
the near death experience he had with coke.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there was more than one, but there was one that was just awful in Germany where he was dead.
Yeah.
And that's where he said, looked up and was like, I need help.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea that story ever even, or that tale even happened. That's just, it's insane. That guy was doing more cocaine and drinking more. On his rider, he demanded like a 2/5 of whiskey and 1/5 of scotch.
He was in a bad way.
And you know, that's all he would drink. Wouldn't drink water, and then topping that off with a bunch of blow.
Mm-hmm.
He was doing 7 grams a day of cocaine.
Good
He
Lord.
Had needs, man. He was a man of appetites.
Wow.
It was Eric Clapton's agent, bodyguard, and assistant tour manager.
Oh, man.
They were
so
on there with
it
him.
Kicked his ass, too.
Yeah, it did.
All
it
the way
did.
Around.
And they had an extra seat. Actually, Jimmy and his wife were supposed to be on it, but Stevie was very anxious to get back to Chicago and see his fiancée, Jenna, and scoop her up and head back to New York. And he asked Jimmy if he could take the last seat. He said, I really want to get back. And Jimmy said, okay, go ahead. And you know what happened after that.
Wow.
It's a sad day, man. It still resonates with me and a whole lot of us.